Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
This is Tuesday, November the 10th, and we are getting ready for week number 10 of your fantasy football season. It is the Through the Wire podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. I'm staff writer Paul Kelly along with senior writer Tom Brawley. And up right now at FantasyGuru.com for subscribers, we do have our waiver wire article. We update that article throughout the week as we get more information, practice reports rolling in, updates on injuries and all that. But we like to get together here on this podcast every Tuesday and talk through some of the more interesting options and some of the guys that we know that you are wondering about. So, Tom, let's go ahead. We'll start at the quarterback position as we always do. And, you know, it's amazing. A lot of guys have been plucked off the waiver wire at quarterback this year who, at least to me, are now guys that I wouldn't have a problem with starting each and every week. I'm talking about guys like Derek Carr. I think Blake Bortles is at the point now where some people are using him as an every week starter. Tyrod Taylor, another guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been very reliable this season. Even Brian Hoyer. Been getting it done with volume pretty much every week. So good to see Marcus Mariota this past week get back on track. I know they were up against the Saints, and the Saints' pass defense has been brutal. But if you need somebody, you need some help with the position, Marcus Mariota at least coming off a nice game here.
Yeah, and Mike Mularkey, they you know, switched coaches last week, and you know, talk was that he's going to, you know, cater the offense around them. They're going to try to run the ball a little bit more to protect Mariota. We didn't actually see him use his legs anymore last week. I don't even think he had a designed run, which we thought we might see. But they could certainly work that into in the future here. The only issue, Marcus, this week is he's going against the Carolina Panthers defense. And that's a much tougher NFC South defense than we faced last week in the Saints. But after that, it gets really it's a really nice slate. He's got Jacksonville. He's got Oakland. And he's got Jacksonville again. So, you know, you might not use him this week, but, you know, he's definitely worth a stash, and you might be using him in, you know, some key matchups right before the fantasy playoffs start.
If you need somebody just for this week, and I know he hasn't done a whole lot this year. He's only got one multiple TD game so far this season. But Kirk Cousins has the matchup of the week at home against the Saints defense. We just saw Mariota destroy this Saints defense. A couple of weeks ago, we saw Eli Manning. I mean, they've been giving up fantasy points and multiple touchdowns to everybody. So I think if you're in a tough spot, you need a one-week guy. Kirk Cousins certainly has the best matchup of the week.
Yeah, and Jake Gruden even came out this week. He got DeSean Jackson back last week. The two weren't on the same page yet. Maybe with an extra week of practice here, they got a game under their belt. You know, maybe he can start taking the lid off of the opposing defenses, and that starts opening up everything else. And, you know, as we saw, the Titans weren't playing very well going into that game against the Saints last week, and they looked like, they looked like a prolific offense. So, you know, he's worth a look. Yeah. If you use Kirk Cousins, though, you always know that he could come up very small for you.
Certainly that chance, no doubt about it. Like I said, multiple TDs now in just one game this entire season. But I think he gets it done this week. Matchup is great, so we'll see. Anybody else at quarterback that you're looking at here on the wire this week? We do have a new starting quarterback, at least in the short term, in Pittsburgh. Have you seen enough positive out of Landry Jones that you feel good about maybe picking him up this week?
Maybe in a 2QB leg, if you're scratching the bottom of the barrel, I mean, at least he is going against the Browns defense. And, you know, we saw him, you know, he wasn't great, but he has great weapons, and he got it to him. He worked it to Martavis and Antonio Brown. So, you know, if I was in a 2QB leg and, you know, really searching for some help this week, because there are some, you know, I think the Falcons are on bye, and, you know, Phillip Rivers is on bye. So there's some people could be looking for a second quarterback, so he's certainly worth a look in that matchup.
Let's go ahead and move on. We'll talk some running backs here, and we did see Jeremy Langford last night for the Chicago Bears play a large role, basically play the Matt Forte role in that Bears offense. He put up numbers. He looked good. If you're in a smaller league, I think there's a chance that Jeremy Langford is still out there, and Matt Forte is expected to miss at least one more game there. So talk about what you saw out of Jeremy Langford last night.
He was electric. I mean, he's auditioning for, you know, his role next year. Forte's a free agent here, and, you know, it looks like they might have something in the future here. And with that said, you know, if Forte's still, it's not looking good for this week. He just had a treatment done this week, and it's not looking good for, you know, week 10 either. But if, you know, if Forte's not close to 100%, you know, they're pretty much out of the playoff race. You know, they have no real incentive to get a hurt Matt Forte back on the field. So, you know, Langford could have a couple more weeks here. And he played well in the role last week. So, you know, if you're in a dynasty or a keeper league, that's a guy that definitely needs to be added because he could be the feature back here next year.
Yeah, looked really good last night in that game. Carlos Williams in Buffalo, another guy who looks really good pretty much every time he touches the ball. He's scored in every game that he's played this year. We'll see about LeSean McCoy's injury. They do have the short week. They play on Thursday night against the New York Jets. But if you're in a league where Carlos Williams is still available, you got to pick this guy up. I mean, even when McCoy is in there, he's getting enough touches to be viable every week.
Yeah, and he actually is available in a lot of leagues. A lot of people just kind of forgot about him after his, you know, nasty concussion in week 4 there. It seems like he scores a touchdown every time he gets the ball in his hands. He needs to be played this week. Even if McCoy suits up, I have a feeling they're going to, you know, at the very least, split the carries up between those two. You know, and, you know, the way that Carlos Williams is playing right now, if you give him 10 or 12 carries, or, you know, 10 or 12 just touches, he's gonna make a, you know, flex contributions at least. So, you know, he's a guy that needs to play this week if he's out in the waiver wire.
So a lot of fantasy owners dealing with the loss of Deion Lewis this week. So he is done for the year. That's good news for LeGarrette Blount, but he's already owned in your league most likely. So the other options behind him, we've seen James White play in that role when Deion Lewis missed time earlier this year. He was inactive, though, in week number 9, and it was Brandon Bolden. So what are you doing? If you're a Deion Lewis owner right now, are you picking up White? Are you picking up Bolden? What do you think is going to happen there?
I would go towards White. I think the Patriots really like Brandon Bolden as a special teams player. They probably don't want to, you know, they don't probably don't want to overextend him too much, but they're definitely probably going to split up the touches a little bit. I would give the lean towards White. We saw in week 7, whenever Deion Lewis missed that game with the abdomen injury, White kind of stepped into the role. He didn't, you know, he wasn't a preferred target for Tom Brady like Deion Lewis is, though. So that's, if you're picking up James White thinking you're going to get Deion Lewis production, that's not going to be the case. You know, maybe it could be more like, you know, what Shane Vereen was doing the last year or two there, where he was featured one week and then totally disappeared the next. So it's going to be hit or miss with James White. We also got to keep an eye out, you know, with the Patriots here. They might make another roster move here at running back. Travaris Cadet got picked up by the 49ers. He was a possibility, but yeah. I'm not putting it past the Patriots to make another move here in the next, you know, 48 hours.
Another potential injury situation that bears monitoring here is Latavius Murray, the Oakland Raiders, knocked out with a concussion this past week. His status for the next game is uncertain at this point, but I think behind him, it's even messier than what they have in New England, so I don't know that you're excited about picking up any of the options behind Latavius Murray right now, and again, we'll see about his status later in the week, but here's a name that I don't think anybody's excited about. But he is a starting running back in the NFL, and he is available in a lot of leagues, and that's Joik Bell, Detroit Lions. And look, the Lions haven't run it well all year. Amir Abdullah has been disappointing. He's hardly playing at this point, and Joik Bell is back. He is healthy, and at least for right now, it looks like he's the guy who's going to get the most touches in this backfield. So is he worth a pickup?
Yeah, he's worth a look. I couldn't see using him this week. I do not trust anybody in this backfield right now outside of maybe Theo Riddick as a PPR option. You're just asking for trouble if you're playing Joik Bell in a fantasy lineup at this point. He's got to give me at least one good game before I can, even think about putting him in a fantasy lineup. But he is worth an ad, and if you're in a league and you got a roster spot that's not doing you anything, you know, he could be worth an ad, and, you know, hopefully he gets that one good game.
How about in San Francisco? It's a bit of a mess there with Carlos Hyde out. And, you know, it's funny, you look at the box score from that Niners game that they won this past week, and it looks more like the fourth preseason game with the kinds of names that were in that box score. Anybody there at running back? We did see Sean Drone get the bulk of the work there. Is he somebody that you're considering taking a flyer on here this week?
Yeah, this is another backfield. You're probably better off just avoiding it. I mean, if down the road, I think Pierre Thomas is probably the best option just because we've actually seen him do it. He's actually, you know, he's a good athlete and everything. Sean Drone is just a guy. Kendall Gaskins was on their practice team just, you know, 2 weeks prior. And they just, as I said earlier, they just signed Travaris Cadet here. So it is a mess. I'd just rather just avoid this headache.
Let's move on. Let's talk some wide receivers here. And Doriel Green-Beckham, Tennessee Titans. Let's start there because we got the head coaching change in Tennessee. They made a concerted effort to get Doriel Green-Beckham more involved this week. We saw him catch 5 balls for 77 yards, led the team with 10 targets, so very encouraging there. I know they had a big game plan against the Saints defense. They can't stop anybody. But the fact that he's on the field more, he's getting the targets, Mariota's playing well right now. Doriel Green-Beckham is available in a lot of leagues because he hasn't done anything yet this year. So is he somebody that you run out and make a point to pick up this week?
I am. I mean, if you know, we've been waiting for this all year. The biggest thing that I liked, besides the production and the 10 targets, was that he played 68% of the snaps. That's a nice little jump for him. Doesn't sound like Kendall Wright's going to be back anytime soon. So he has, you know, at least maybe another week or two to establish himself. And, you know, maybe then he becomes a starter with Kendall Wright, you know, down the stretch here. I mean, the Titans need to make him a starter. They're not playing for anything here. Get the kid on the field. Get him targets every week. And he's a big body. He can produce for fantasy, you know, with just a few targets because, you know, if they throw him a lob up in the end zone down by the goal line, you know, he can come down with it. He's that type of player. So we like what we've seen, you know, the extra snaps here. So, you know, I'm running out and getting a guy like him.
Let's talk about the San Diego wide receivers. They're already down Keenan Allen for the season. So Stevie Johnson is a guy that people were picking up last week. Malcolm Floyd was getting picked up last week. Malcolm Floyd had to leave with an injury last night. He's kind of out indefinitely right now, but the prognosis is not looking good at this point. So Chargers getting a little bit thin at wide receiver. There's Stevie Johnson there. Dontrell Inman maybe would be the next man up there because, look, they're not running the ball well. Phillip Rivers is throwing it a ton. That probably continues the rest of the way here. So how are you treating these San Diego wide receivers?
I mean, if Stevie Johnson's still out in your waiver wire, he obviously needs to be added immediately. He's going to be seeing a lot of targets now. And, you know, the Malcolm Floyd injury now, I mean, they've just been decimated by injuries. So now Dontrell Inman, you're the next guy up. You're the number two receiver. And we've seen Phillip Rivers put up more than 300 yards, you know, probably a handful of times already this season. So Inman has to be owned. After that, there's Javonte Herndon. they could be scraping the barrel here for some free agents here in the next couple days here. But if Stevie Johnson's still on your waiver wire, he needs to be added.
Yeah, no doubt. And Baltimore Ravens in a similar situation there with Steve Smith down for the count, and we'll see if Breshad Perryman ever makes it back there. But right now it's looking like Kamar Aiken and Chris Givens maybe are the top two options there, and both of those guys available in a lot of leagues.
Oh, absolutely. And, if I was choosing between the two, if I was in a PPR, I might lean towards Kamar Aiken because he's going to probably see more of the targets that Steve Smith is leaving behind. But Chris Givens might be the better option for non-PPR. They're going to start taking shots to him every week. Maybe he starts to fill that Torrey Smith role that they've been kind of missing this year, that deep vertical, you know, presence that Joe Flacco has sorely missed here that they thought Breshad Perryman was going to fill. So if you're looking for, you know, maybe more upside, Chris Givens might be the guy. But if you're looking for that consistent PPR guy, Kamara would be that type of player.
We talked about Doriel Green-Beckham as a rookie big kid who's emerging a little bit there with the Titans. We might be seeing kind of the same thing with Devin Funchess down in Carolina. They certainly have a need at wide receiver for somebody to step up and start making some plays. He did have his best game of the season, 3 grabs, 71 yards, and a touchdown here in Week 9. And Devin Funchess is somebody who he's available. He's available. When Kelvin Benjamin went down this summer, a lot of people pointed at Funchess and said, okay, well, he's going to be the guy who steps in there and kind of assumes that role. That didn't happen. But here we are 9 weeks into the season, heading into Week 10, and he's playing a little bit more. He's getting more involved. Is he somebody that you're picking up this week?
Yeah, you're hoping that the light is finally starting to flick on for Funchess. But he put up similar numbers to Doyle Green Beckham. But the reason why we have him, you know, farther down on our waiver wire list, is the 27% of the snaps. That's you're gonna have a tough time producing if you're playing 27% of the snaps. But he's still a guy I would look at. You know, he performed last week, so maybe that means he gets 50% of the snaps this week. So maybe this is just the start of, you know, more and more production, more and more playing time. So if you're in a deeper league, or you know, you have a bench spot that's doing nothing for you, Funchess is definitely worth a look.
Anybody else a wide receiver you want to target here before we move on to tight ends? Anybody else you're looking at?
It's pretty. I mean, Inman would be the one guy. I mean, if you know, with the Malcolm Floyd injury, we'll maybe get a little more information here this week. And the Texans situation will be interesting here the next, you know, 48 hours. It sounds like Cecil Sorts could be back. You know, if we get more information that he's going to slide back into that number two role, maybe if you had Nate Washington, you could dump him. But I think Nate Washington's probably been playing better than Cecil Shorts, though. So I don't necessarily agree that Shorts should, you know, jump ahead of Washington, but we'll see what Bill O'Brien wants to do there if, you know, it indeed looks like Shorts is going to play this week.
I don't think it's a great week for tight ends on the waiver wire, but some of the same names we've been talking about are still kind of popping up here. But how about Austin Seferian Jenkins? We've been waiting since week two to get this guy back on the field. I think we were close in week number 9, but it didn't happen. But certainly Jameis Winston could use another option there in the passing game. Vincent Jackson has been out as well, so it's been all Mike Evans right now. And with Seferian Jenkins coming back, I mean, he's somebody that you could probably pick up and maybe end up using here over the last few weeks of your fantasy regular season.
Yeah, I actually have added him in leagues in week 8 and week 9 when it kind of looked like he might be getting back because, you know, the whole Vincent Jackson situation here, it doesn't sound like Jackson's very close to playing right now, and they got guys like Dante Dye and Adam Humphreys playing across from Mike Evans right now, so if Seferian Jenkins is healthy enough to play, I mean, he's probably locked into at least 8 targets a game if they don't run it a ton with Martin and Sims. So, you know, he's a guy that could, you know, he hasn't played in a long time, but he could make an immediate impact as soon as he gets on the field.
Other obvious choices at tight end, I mean, Eric Ebron coming off the bye, if somebody had to cut him, I think you go ahead and you pick him up. He's been very productive this year. Jacob Tammy in Atlanta. I mean, look, that whole passing game runs through Julio Jones. But after that, I mean, Hankerson's been out. Roddy White has been a complete non-factor. It's kind of been Jacob Tammy as the second option in that passing game. So I think if he's still available, he's worth a look as well.
Yeah, and going back to that Ravens passing game, we'll take a look at Crockett Gilmore. You know, those Steve Smith targets have to go somewhere. You know, he's not a special player, but, you know, maybe he could get you 5 for 45 if you're an Antonio Gates owner this week and he's on bye and you're just looking for anything you can get. And a guy like Heath Miller, you know, he probably can be dropped this week with Roethlisberger. Being out of the lineup. He didn't do much with Landry Jones, so if you owned him, you could probably dump him this week. But it's looking there's not a lot of great options at tight end for waiver wire purposes. We've seen other tight ends emerge, you know, at the position that, you know, we weren't expecting. So there's not much out there right now.
I guess just one final situation to talk about at tight end, because people are probably wondering. Yeah. And that's in Denver. Owen Daniels hadn't topped 45 yards receiving in any game this year. They bring in Vernon Davis over from San Francisco, and Owen Daniels proceeds to have his best game of the year. 6 for 102 and 1 touchdown there. Vernon Davis, I think, just played 9 snaps in the game, really didn't contribute there in his first week. What's your expectation there moving forward? Because I know there are some people who were excited about Vernon Davis coming over to play there with Peyton Manning, but Owen Daniels is clearly still in the mix.
Yeah, I should say it shocked me, but we got a ton of questions on Twitter, and I even saw people putting Vernon Davis in the lineups last week. That situation is going to be murky the rest of the year. They're going to rotate those three tight ends. They got Virgil and Owen and now Vernon. So Peyton Manning is such a creature of habit. He's Mr. Practice. He wants to throw to his receivers all the time, and these two have never thrown together. So it could be very tough for them to get on the same page here, even, you know, in the next couple of weeks. So this is probably a situation I would probably just avoid. And if I had to own one out of this group, I'd probably still stick with Owen Daniels because he's the one that's actually producing recently.
So there you go, guys. We're going to wrap this thing up. As I said, the full waiver wire article just loaded with tons of names that you may be wondering about is up at fantasyguru.com for subscribers. We do update that article throughout the week as the practice reports roll in, as updated injury information becomes available as well. Also up on the site, our Stockwatch article. People love this. It is a great recap for the entire weekend. So if you're going to read one article to recap the weekend, it's definitely the Stockwatch. And, of course, John Hansen's Week 10 projections will be up on the site on Wednesday morning. So that's it for us. For Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. We'll talk to you again soon. This has been the Through the Wire podcast at fantasyguru.com.